What month is it? It's late January. Okay, I think that's all I have. February birthdays come next week.
You to just close your eyes, slow down, take a few nice deep breaths. And just allow those words that we've been singing to just wash over you. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. Maybe just allow those words to become a little bit of a mantra as you allow your thoughts to just go inside. And maybe pay attention to, where am I blessed? For what am I grateful? As you stay connected with your breath and the consciousness of gratitude and blessing, maybe just notice where gratitude and blessing are in your body. Are there any areas of tension or sensation? Maybe it's pain and discomfort. Can you just meet whatever's in your body with gratitude and blessing? it's a fear or a sadness or an anxiety. Can you offer blessing and gratitude to that? We talk a lot about welcoming, loving, and belonging. Welcoming, loving, and belonging starts with us. So can whatever is here with you today be welcomed, be loved, and belonged, just as it is. And then as you're ready, just taking a few more nice, deep breaths. And gradually allowing your awareness to come back outside to the sounds, the smells, and the sights of the room. And as you're ready, opening your eyes. Thank you, Gwen. That is just a perfect song for the beginning of today. Just the way these things come together. You know, you think we meet in closed rooms for hours and plan out every minute and second of the service. You might, you know. I think in another realm, another dimension, perhaps that happens. But that is just perfect today. You may have noticed Julie's not with us today. She's not feeling well. And so we just know health, healing, and peace for her, and know that she's going to be back here with us soon. So, it's what?
Sure, she's watching.
I'm sure she's watching. Julie, hi, if you're watching. Yes, we all say hi to you. All right. So this week, we are on the fourth of a series of four messages that we started off the year with called Exploring Freedom in Abundance. And just, it's so perfect when we think of abundance, the blessing that we all have. And the idea here is to hopefully, my intention, some of you are going to be receiving these messages as a fundraiser for the church. That's not what they're intended to be, but I'm aware that the nature of the subject matter is going to sound like that. And so if you're feeling that way, you know, I it's valid, it's legitimate, I get it, but it's not my intention. This came as an idea that I offered to the board in the fall when I saw everybody scrambling around for, we need pledges, we need pledges, we need donations, we're getting a budget. You know, I just saw this chaos, and I said, all right, how about if we just do a series on giving in January to just kind of settle things down a little bit? Are we going to do it every January? No. We will pick it up again in October so that from October, November, and December, we can plan our finances and hit the new year running and not have to be talking about it during the holidays. So I also want to let you know, too, there was some concern, and just know that I'm learning with you about unity, about our sacred fire and sacred white stone ceremony that has historically been done here the last Sunday of 2026 and the first Sunday of the new year. And you just need to know that that decision not to do that was totally on me. Okay, it wasn't the board, it wasn't some people trying to get some new unity agenda in here or anything like that. I just had this crazy idea, what if we tied this ceremony in with the Chinese New Year in February? So we are going to do it in February. I'm really, really excited about it. We may do it in February and think that was the dumbest, stupidest thing we've ever done. And if that's the case, we'll just go back next year and do it this way. But, you know, I just, for me, it's, you know, we talk about just, you know, embracing all cultures. And so, you know, us white European folks, yes, we're used to January 1 being the start of the new year. But there's a good number of our world, you know, that for their new year goes by a little bit of a different calendar. So, you know, to kind of, ooh, shimmy in that. Yes, that's right. We're going to shimmy in there a little bit. But just so you know, too, you know, where things are going is next month, I'm going to do a series on exploring freedom in service. And so it's going to be a deep dive on the different ways that you can connect and get involved here. You know, and a lot of people have asked, how do I serve here? What's going on? And what's ever? And Margaret on our board has helped do a great job putting on our website. But we're going to just spotlight the different ministries and groups and things that we do here that can show you ways that you can get involved. We're going to talk about burnout. Have any of you ever burned out? You've been burned out in church? Yeah, I have too. You know, and so we're going to talk about that. And I'm really looking forward to spending some time in February just being together. And then in March, that's kind of the beginning of Ash Wednesday, and I'm thinking about a series called Exploring Freedom in Suffering. I know. and we're gonna just talk about suffering and what it is. So much I want to say about that, but I want to be mindful of our time this morning. But then as we go on throughout the rest of the year, spirit willing, it's this idea of exploring freedom in fill in the blank. In fact, if you have an idea, email me. Let me know. minister@unitycenter.org. You know, I'd like us to explore freedom in fill in the blank, and would love to just hear what some of your ideas are. But as the new year has come upon for me, the consciousness of exploration and the consciousness of freedom has been really present for me. So that's where that's all coming from. And so all the different points of contact that we have for that are going on. So any questions about that? Thoughts? Comments? Cool. All right. So today, freedom in abundance. Here's what I'd like to do. If this was a Zoom meeting, I'd get us into breakout rooms of 2 to 4. But I'm going to just do it here live, okay? I'd like to invite you to just turn to 2, 3, or 4 people if you wish. If you don't want to do this, you can just sit and be quiet as well. But I want you to take a couple minutes and talk amongst yourself. What does freedom in abundance mean to you? What does freedom in abundance mean to you? Not looking for depth. It's not a test. It's not right or wrong. But just go ahead and take a few minutes. Turn to some people around you and talk about it. What does freedom in abundance mean to you? So, what's that?
Retirement. More guitars. And I'm saying more cowbell.
Just a few more seconds here. Oh, yes. All right. I would love to hear what Freedom and Abundance had. I had a lot of talking this over with the musicians today. Is it okay if I share some of what we discussed? Freedom and Abundance is more guitars. Freedom and Abundance, more cowbell. Yeah! Any of you know that one? Yeah! I got a fever. And the only prescription is what?
Cowbell.
More cowbell. Would anybody like to share just some of what came up in your groups? Freedom and abundance, what does it mean?
As me and Tanya were talking, I was explaining how freedom in your giving, your natural giving, frees yourself and actually not only spruces you up, but spruces somebody else up. And it frees you in a way that it makes you smile, which is a part of freedom. And, you know, abundance, you know, we have to have lots of it. We have to have lots of love. So what is freedom and abundance? Giving unwillingly.
Ooh, giving unwillingly. Interesting. Anyone else? Freedom in abundance. What is it? Doug.
It's getting one more day. When you get up in the morning, you say, "I got one more day," and that's all anybody has. So you just got to be thankful for that day.
I just love that. Amen. Doug and I were talking about that before the service. Reminds me of what Abraham Lincoln said. It's not the number of days in your life, but the amount of life in your days. There you go. Freedom and abundance. What else? Anybody else? Peggy's raising Steve's hand for him. I love
it. Yes, she is. It's feeling like you have the freedom to give even regardless of what your situation is. Hmm. Whether you have what you need or want, it's you feel like you can give anyway.
Mm, I love that. Freedom, regardless of, there's an unconditionality to it. Yeah, anyone else?
Our group, we talked about different fears that each of us have due to different life circumstances and phases and stages in life. And the insight that came was trust, trusting that Source will always show up in the ways that we need.
Yeah. Anyone else?
For me, the idea of abundance means that there is substance with which I can create. So when I feel full of opportunity, that is the abundance that frees me to be the creative being that I am.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Full of opportunity. Full of opportunity, yeah.
My idea of abundance is finding your true gift and sharing it abundantly. Now,
yes.
It's, you know, sometimes that takes a lifetime or half a lifetime, but once you find it, share it abundantly.
Yep. I think sometimes we find it over and over and over again. And who is it who said, where your greatest passion meets the world's greatest need? You might be onto something. Yeah, anyone else? Freedom and abundance. This is good.
Come on, Scott, what'd you talk about?
We talked about, Tracy and I talked about abundance some people have money to give. Some people have, you know, personal property and everything else. But even if you don't even have any of that to give, you got time. You've got a smile. You've got whatever it is about you. God gave us spiritual gifts. You have to figure out what your spiritual gift is. It's hospitality. It's giving. It's speaking and ministering. Whatever your spiritual gift is, you've got to find it. And that's where your abundance comes from, is knowing what God wants from you. And then you can't keep it to yourself. You got to keep it. You got to give it away. And it is selfish when you start feeling good about yourself, but that's okay. You're going to feel good anyway when you do something good for somebody else, regardless of what that is, whether it's a smile, a hug, a handshake, a greeting at the door when you walk in. It doesn't matter what you do. It's what you got is in abundance, so give it away.
Wow. You want to just share the rest of this morning here? Some of you think, well, what about you, Reverend? What do you think about it? Okay. You'll have lots of time to listen to me, but I hope that we can hold this consciousness and the energy that's present right now, this sense of optimism, this sense of excitement, this sense of mystery and wonder of awe. And as you were talking, Scott, there was this irresistibility of wanting to give what's there. You know, it's like you're almost caught up in something that is greater than even your will, and you're carried by it. That's really what the heart and the spirit of this is. And so I want to share this with you. Do you know who said this? Huh? Einstein? Well, Unity.org. No, that's just our slide. That's a, Leanne, it's so good to see you, by the way. Welcome. Yay. Our PL. Yeah, oh, yay. Leanne's here. All right. Any guesses? Einstein? Kelly, yes, that would be Charles. I was hoping somebody would say Jesus, but yeah, okay, no, yeah. Charles Fillmore said that. Charles, does anybody not know who Charles Fillmore is? And it's okay if you don't.
I don't.
Charles and his wife, Myrtle, were the founders of this tradition we know today as Unity, started in the late 1800s and evolved into what it is today. If you want to learn more about that, come to the Discover Unity class. I know we're calling it membership class. That feels a little dry and bland to me. It's going to be more about Discover Unity. So I just want to let you know, by coming, you're not promising to be a member. This isn't like some timeshare presentation. You know, we're not running some kind of a, you know, we're not running a Ponzi scheme here or anything like that, okay? If you just want to check out one of the ideas I have in my mind is a newcomer's coffee once a month or whatever. Just a casual, informal, get-to-know-each-other type thing. So I hope you'll come to that. And members and non-members alike are ready to come. And just speaking of money, one of the things that we'll be talking about in membership class is this crazy thing that we accept money from non-members, but not a vote. Isn't that strange? And that's just coming from the years that I've spent sitting in that chair out there. You know, when people talk about this, it's like, huh. We'll take your money, but not your vote. Help me figure that out. Anyway, okay. I didn't mean to sidetrack us from that. Okay, but yes, Charles Fillmore said that, all right? Now, I want to just, we're going to talk a little bit about just some of the nuts and bolts of our budget, but I want to just offer three invitations and intentions for us as a community as we walk together in this new year. And I've touched on these before, but I just want to reiterate them again, say them a little bit differently, and just kind of anchor this discussion about our money in these three intentions, okay? And again, these are invitations. I know I can be excited, and I can be persuasive. It can come across as being a little pushy. That's not my intention at all. This is just how I'm, you know, these messages are really from my heart to yours. And just to journey, you know, as I'm journeying in this new year, I'm journeying with you, okay? So here's the first one. May we slow down, breathe, and ground ourselves in love and trust. Let's clean up our pain. And then what follows there is a quote by Bill Plotkin, who said, "We are not here to save the earth, but to belong more fully to it." I really like that. We are not here to save the earth. Oh, but it's tempting, isn't it? It's tempting to fix the wrongs that are going on. Matt? You like that? Yeah. You know, I was talking with somebody at the service today, you know, the stuff that's going on in Minneapolis. It's heartbreaking. And I would say that it's heartbreaking for everyone. No matter where you fall on the political spectrum, people are getting hurt. And what's happened is we've lost the ability to be civil to each other and to be kind and to talk to one another with love and kindness, okay? That healing starts here, and it starts here. And so it would be so easy for me to, you know, come in here hard charging and say, all right, we're going to do these 10 new things, and we're going to raise this much money, and we're going to start this many new programs. Come on, are you with me?
Yes!
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. When I look at things, I hope that we can slow down, what I say, breathe, and ground ourselves in love and trust. And by ground, I really mean that. Ground. Okay? Here's the, yeah, take your shoes off and be in the, but in ground. Let me put it to you this way. For so much of our lives, the path is one of ascent. Ascent. Think of your career. Think of your money. Think of growing up, you know, and especially think of spiritually. Okay? Certainly if you come from a Christian background as I do, it's about trying really, really hard to get to this final resting place called heaven, which is somewhere up there in the clouds. You know, and if you work really, really hard, you can do it. But it's also crept into our psyche as well. What is it? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Does anybody know what those are? The first one is, I think, physiological needs, food, water, okay? Then physical needs, shelter, protection. Emotional needs, love, connection, belonging. The fourth one is esteem, self-worth, self-value. The fifth one is self. Anybody know what it is? Actualization. Yeah, this is who I am. Carl Jung, the real joy in life is to become who you truly are. Does anybody know what this emerging sixth one is? Come on, come on. What is it? Self what? Spiritual is right, but there's a word for it. It starts with a T. Self-transcendence. Yes. So it's getting beyond and through the self to a place of altruism, where the self really isn't there. I've been there. It's a story for another time, but I'll tell you, it's pretty cool to just be in a place where there's no self and you just are. Unitive consciousness. Now, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story, it's this ascent, okay? This climb up some kind of a ladder, all right? It's crept up into the field of science. I think I've told you this before, but I've listened to this podcast called The Telepathy Tapes. And in one of the things, they talk about one of many scientific worldviews that is, again, like a pyramid. At the bottom of the pyramid is biology, then chemistry, then physics, then psychology, and then consciousness. And again, the point of the idea is consciousness is a product of matter in the universe. And what scientists, some, are beginning to question as they work with human beings who are either autistic or Asperger's, maybe ADHD, is they're thinking, I wonder if this is flipped. You know, does consciousness really need to be created? Maybe consciousness just is. And psychology, physics, chemistry, biology are just a way for us to discover that. When I heard that, I was driving in my car to Seattle, I almost went, hallelujah, yes, consciousness, let's just call it love, or God, or again, prana, chi, whatever background you come from, okay? But this idea that there is a wisdom, there's an intelligence, there's a something in all of the universe that's expressing itself and wanting to express itself, and it just is. And the beauty of science is it just helps us to get to understand that. And, you know, every question that science answers, what? There's always two or three more that follow. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But here's the idea. The model is it's ascent. I think something happens, though, on the spiritual life as we mature, that this way up is actually the way down. It's a descent. We gain by losing. We live by dying. We gain by giving away. And this is where things get really interesting. Especially as it, you know, relates not just to our money, but to life in general. On February 6th, I'm going to be in Seattle interning my dad's ashes. So he died in August of this year. I don't know if I told you that, but my dad passed away in August, and I just found out this week that my brother has his ashes, and he's going to be interned in a mausoleum in Seattle next to his youngest son, Timmy. Timmy is my brother who died when he was 14 years old. Good Friday, 2002. He was young, he was healthy, he was playing football, he was energetic, as happy and joyful as he can be. And one morning, stepmom walked into his bedroom and he was dead. Yeah. And it's funny, I just remember, you know, so many things in life, but I'll never forget going there that morning. It was Good Friday, you know, right before a big day for pastors. I was a young pastor in a big evangelical church. You know, and just my dad was there crying. He's gone. And then in the days that followed, you know, God saved his son. Why couldn't he save mine? And that stayed with him all the days of his life. Now, many of you, there are some of you in here, you know that. You know what it's like to lose a child. Maybe you've lost a parent. Maybe you've lost a spouse or a pet. Okay? But this pain that happens is part of this descent into the spiritual life. And I love how author James Finley says that God, love, protects or prevents us from, prevents nothing. Love, God, prevents nothing. Today, this day, there will be young children who are abused. There will be people who will be shot. There will be human beings unfairly dragged out of their homes in Minnesota, taken away for some certain thing today. Some of us will get a cancer diagnosis. Some of us may lose our jobs. Where's God in all of that? But yet, here's the other thing. In some mysterious way, love shows up in the midst of it. But it's this idea of falling into a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper abyss. There's a dark divinity to the things that go on. And so when I think about that here in relationship to our community, I'll just say, you know, my dad, some of us never fully attain that freedom in this life. He carried that pain of losing his son till he drew his last breath. Again, when I was an evangelical, he said, you know, God saved his son, what are you going to save me? When I came over into New Thought spirituality, you know, his words weren't so kind. I'll just put it that way. I won't share the words to you. But people in this community who might think of us as a New Age cult, you know, that's what came at me, you know, just all this weird stuff and whatever. And you may know some people, too, who die in that sort of thing. But, you know, the hope is that now on the other side of the veil, and I know this in my heart, all of that is resolved. And how fitting it is that his ashes are now going to rest next to my youngest brother's ashes. And here's the idea. Isn't it amazing that out of the ashes, the burned upness of our life, there's a phoenix rising? You know that story? A phoenix rising. So when I think about that at this community here, getting ready for membership class, I got a chance to read the history and everything here. It was kind of interesting reading it. You know, the earliest founders being traced to the living room of Charles and Myrtis Fillmore. There was almost this apostolic succession thing to it, you know. our descendants come from the things of the Fillmores. You know, in the Catholic Church, Peter and Paul and all the popes come from succession to Jesus. You know, there's a lineage and a story that's just fascinating. And yet there's this constant rebuilding and things that go on, okay? All of that to say, for us here, as we journey together, let's grow and let's heal. And when I say let's clean up our pain, are you familiar with the concept of clean pain and dirty pain? It's from the book My Grandmother's Hands. I forget the person who wrote it, okay? But dirty pain is unmetabolized pain. Clean pain is metabolized pain. For example, if someone were to say, hey, you didn't do this fire and white stone ceremony in January. Where are you, board? Reverend James has time to preach about money, but not time to hold our ceremony. I don't like this spiritual shift that's going on here. Okay, I'm paraphrasing some of what these things said. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't signed. Okay, it was anonymous. All right. Now again, I've done that. I think we've all done this. Clean pain might say something like, you know, for years in this church, we've done a burning paper white stone ceremony, And it's been a blessed part of our spiritual practice. I look forward to it every year. I feel sad. I feel disappointed. I feel upset that we didn't do it this year. And I really thank you for reading and considering this. Signed, Margaret, Sina, that's not who you did, okay? All right? As we navigate things together, things are gonna happen, okay? But can you feel how one dirty pain is pointing and accusing and it breeds disconnection? The other one is tender and vulnerable and invites connection. This church, and I was reading through the history, what was missing was the last 5 years, not one, but two ministers, a pandemic, and a merger. And I've talked to enough people to know that there's a lot of stuff. By healing, I don't mean eliminating. I don't mean slapping a white happy face on it and let's just dance and love each other. I mean do the hard work. Do the hard work of healing and becoming whole. It's the word integrity. Integrity is from the word integer, which means whole. Okay? So that's what I would just invite us to do today. And let's enjoy the ride. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, but I'll tell you, it's worth it. Number two, let's become mutually accountable to ourselves and each other. We are an organism, not an organization or a building. Here's what I'd like you to do. I was going to, for this message, set the chairs up to face each other, and then I didn't feel comfortable with it. But I want you to take a few moments and just look at each other. In fact, I'm going to go back here. I want you to make eye contact. Just make eye contact with as many people as you can. Don't say anything. Just look. Just look. They say that to love is to behold. So just maybe notice what it is to look at and behold the beings who are around you. When we talk about church, church is an organism. It's a body and it's a community of relationships. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not a 501c3. Those are all structures that support the organism. And the accountability is not to me. It's not to the board. It's not to unity. I'm accountable to you for the things that I say and do, yes. The board, as you've already heard, works hard to serve we, the people, here. Unity is there to support us and guide us as we need it. But don't give your power away to unity, to the board, or to me. I'm here to serve with you. And as a spiritual leader, the model that I have is that of a shepherd, one who's just among the people, and we're walking together. My head happens to be just a little bit higher above the horizon because I'm standing, okay? I don't know any better. That's why I don't like the term reverend. I really don't like it. I know some people have to call me that, but I just don't like that. I'll just tell you, the men's circle, this is just an invitation for the men. If you want to come, we're going to leave our resumes and our education at the door. It's not about what titles you have in front of your name. It's not about how many letters you have after your name. Okay? We're just coming as we are. It's about competition, or cooperation, not competition. I am highly competitive, though. Okay? All right? But as we grow, we're mutually accountable to one another. When we talk about giving and what we give and how we give, it's not me, it's not you trying to measure up to me or measure up to some imagination of what God is saying. That's where things get sideways in churches. God says I got to do this and the preacher's up there. No, 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 no. You have to look first yourself in the eye with integrity. Then look at each other with integrity and say, this is how we're going to be. This is who I am. Let's grow together. And this building can go away. Unity can go away. I could get hit by a freight train and go away. But nothing, 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 nothing in this universe can take away the love that's here. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right. Third, let's welcome giving as a spiritual practice. I introduced this idea last time, but if you haven't done this yet, ask yourself, if the land and money could talk, what would they say? I got to tell you, Friday, I did this. I'm not asking you to do anything that I wouldn't do. I went out there and I walked the labyrinth. And I started asking, all right, land, all right, money, what do you want me to know? What would you say? And then I got a little sassy. Because part of the history of this church includes a three-phase building plan back in the 90s. Were any of you around for that? Okay, the posters are in the minister's office there, you know? Oh, it's enough to make any minister salivate. Let's raise millions of dollars, you know. But I asked the land, does Coeur d'Alene need, does North Idaho need, does the United States of America need another 500-seat church room? You know what I got? You'll have to come to the annual meeting on the 25th, okay? But here's the gist of it, and I don't mean this in any disrespect to those of you that were a part of those dreams and vision 30 years ago, but it was like, your dreams are too small. Your dreams are way too small. Abundance is all about dreaming big. If there were no limits, what would you want to do? This land that we're sitting on, that this building on, is here to serve us. Notice how we've built over it. We've cut down trees. And they've just remained. They haven't protested and shot back at us. Okay? I think money's the same way. Money has this incredible force over our lives. And if there's any spiritual truth I hope you can hear about money, it's not about money is not the problem. It's the love of it that's the problem. It's not about how much or how little you have. It's about how much or how little you have has you. And by that, I mean, how does it mold and shape and define how you interact with the world? So, real quick, read these and ask yourself, who is the beneficiary when it comes to giving?
I am.
Who?
I am.
You are. Anybody see anything else? What? The microphone? Yeah, we'll just call these out real quick. Okay? If there's one thing, Doug?
I'd like everybody to do one thing. I'd like to close your eyes, and I want you to see every seat in here with a person in it. And I want you to do this every Sunday, and I want you to see what happens. We have energy. We'll attract good energy. And let's try this.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I hope you can see is that, again, you're the beneficiary. It's not God. It's not unity. It's not me. It's not the board. It's you. So I want to end by just sharing some facts and figures with you. This is going to sound a little business meeting-y. Sorry. I just hope that we can talk about business in a spiritual setting. You know, I've just been in, you know, churches have these wonderful spiritual services, and then we get into the business meeting. It's like people become alter egos. You know, and the fur starts flying, okay? Trust and tell at our board meeting this week, I just shared, when it comes to money in the church, my mantra is trust God and tell the people. And Dennis said, TNT, TNT. And I said, I love it. Kind of an explosive idea, okay? But as we think about how we deal with money here, I really like this idea of TNT, okay? So I just want to trust God and tell you some things about our financial situation here, okay? And there's not going to be time for questions and all that kind of stuff. I wish there were, but they're not, okay? But just so you can be thinking about this. Last year, we forecasted an income of $201,000 and received $185,000. So about 95% of what we received, about 92% of what we forecast, okay? We projected expenses of $183,000 and actually spent $158,000, about 86%. Do you know why that was? Huh? Yeah, you didn't pay me. Yeah, I don't feel awkward. Yeah, you didn't pay me, okay? Interestingly, do the math, what's the delta? 183 minus 156 is how much? 27,000. Yeah. You know what we did with that $27,000 surplus? Anybody know? Yeah, we bought ourselves three new furnaces, okay? So see how these things work out? It's just crazy. All right. In 2026, we are forecasting an income of $187,000, a meager 1% increase from last year. And we are projecting expenses of $187,000. Some of you asked this, what about money and savings? We have about $580,000. Is that right, Dennis? Approximately? Okay. In savings and investments. That money has been set aside for capital improvements. What are capital improvements? Buildings and facilities and types of things like that. Okay? Now, some of you, I can see your wheels going, well, I don't know that I agree with that, and let's spend it, and this, that, and the other thing, okay? And this is where, together as a community, with love and civility, we do this. Some of you might say, well, gee, with all this in the bank, why are we talking about money? My personal view is living off savings is not sustainable. It may happen, you know, in an emergency or a rainy day fund, but it's not sustainable, and I don't think it's in line with what Spirit is saying. Now, last week, I talked to you about tithing, okay? Remember what tithing is? 10%. I went on ChatGPT, just because I'm sassy, and I asked ChatGPT what the median income of Coeur d'Alene was. You know what it said? 70,000. Now, I talked to some people, and I said, is that real? And most people said, that seems a little high to me. So what did you say it was, Margaret? 50, yeah. Let's just say 50,000 is the median income. Last year, Geraldyn, we had, was it 72 people give that we sent letters to? Okay. So let's just round down to 70. So just take 70 times 10% of 50,000. Do the math. Okay, you can figure that out. All right. If you do the math, it's almost three times what our incredible budget, what our forecasted budget is in here. Now, there's a whole story here about giving that I don't want to unpack today, you know. But I have had people ask me, James, will you go and meet with big givers? Kind of woo them in? No. The church I came from in Seattle, they had this big wine shindig thing. They did what all the business development people do, you know, wine and dine the big givers, put their plaque on, you know, this seat brought to you by Cena, you know, and this roof brought to you by Margaret, and this parking lot brought to you by Jack, you know. And I get that. I'm not here to cast dispersions on that. But if you were to ask me about giving, I'll just tell you what I'll do. I would go back and ask you, what do you want? What makes your heart sing? What lights you up? I'm not going to get into the game of doing that. And I realize that's breaking probably fundraising rule number one, you know, but I don't care because I've done the big church thing. And I just don't, you know, I mean, I really don't care. I mean, I'm not afraid of big churches, but, you know, I don't need to prove myself or, you know, imagine things. Would I love every chair in here to be filled? I would. And you know what? I kind of already think it is. Maybe these people are here, Doug. I don't know. I'm just kind of out there. They're just not here yet. Yeah. In body form. You know, maybe in some other dimension, this place is teeming with people. We only just see in view and in part now. I don't know. But I love that invitation. What if? What if? What if? Oh, my gosh. And we just go back to what I saw out there in the lab. The money in the land told me, you're dreaming way too small. Way too small. Dream big. Really drop in and think about if there were no limits, no boundaries, no stories, no worries, no human plans, you know, and just imagine what could be and see how Spirit talks to you. I think that's fun. All right. I want to close with a poem and tie this back to how this all began, about coming home. money and land could be the path on which you come home to yourself, to this community, or wherever your community is. It was written by a poet named Jane Hooper, who lived on Whidbey Island. I've been to her home, and I've been a part of meditation retreats there. In fact, I've got a story about how my elbow was healed on the night my mother died, metaphysically. It'll curl the enamel on your teeth, trust me, but I don't have time to tell you now. But I just felt like I wanted to share this with you as we close here. Please come home. Please come home. Find the place where your feet know where to walk and follow your own trail home. Please come home. Please come home into your own body, your own vessel, your own earth. Please come home into each and every cell and fully into the space that surrounds you. Please come home. Please come home to trusting yourself and your instincts and your ways and your knowings and even the particular quirks of your personality. Please come home. Please come home. And once you are firmly there, please stay home a while and come to a deep rest within. Please treasure your home. Please love and embrace your home. Please get a deep, deep sense of what it's like to be truly home. Amen.
Faith, I say, have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living in. Have a little faith, I say, have a little faith, my friend. We got trouble everywhere around the world. A safe place to be for any woman, man, boy, or girl. Everywhere you turn, there's destruction and pain. Got a full of promises and a hat full of rain. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are faith, I say, have a little faith, my friend. There's evil all around us, we've got to rise above. Gotta fight the good fight in that war of love. Hold on, hold on, help is on its way. There's a better tomorrow, I can feel it today. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living in. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend.
Have a little faith.
Have a little faith. help each other through thick and thin.
These are trying times that we're living in. Have a little faith,
I say.
Have a little
faith, my friend. Have a little faith, my friend.
Have a little bit of faith.
Have a little faith, my friend.
Have a little bit of faith.
Yeah, have a little faith.
Have a little bit of faith.
Have a little faith, my friend.
Have a little bit of faith.
Have a little faith, my friend.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, have a little faith.